This is Cashflow Ninja, episode 153 with Garrett Gunderson.
Welcome to the Cashflow Ninja, the podcast empowering and inspiring people to discover how to generate their own income and manage, grow, and protect their own wealth in the new economy. Now, here is your host, MC Laubscher.
Hello everyone, MC Laubscher here, and welcome to another episode of the Cashflow Ninja. I have a great show for you today, and in today's show, we're going to be looking at the financial myths that are really hurting people. We're going to look at a way to create and grow sustainable legacy wealth, and we're going to be looking at what would the Rockefellers do in creating and building legacy wealth. My guest today is Garrett Gunderson. Garrett is the chief wealth architect of the Wealth Factory and author of the New York Times bestseller, Killing Sacred Cows. Wealth Factory helps entrepreneurs optimize cash flow, streamline their finances, and keep more of their hard-earned money so that they can make more powerful investments in their best wealth creator, their business. Garrett has appeared multiple times on ABC News Now, Your World with Neil Cavuto on Fox, CNBC's Squawk on the Street, and more. And his first firm made the Inc. 500. I have followed Garrett for a very long time now and read all of his books and love the work that they're doing at the Wealth Factory. So I'm very excited to jump into our interview today. Please share your feedback and thoughts with me on today's interview. You can let me know your thoughts on Twitter by tweeting me at MC Laubscher or by email at info@cashflowninja.com. And please remember to join our mailing list by signing up at cashflowninja.com or texting cashflowninja, one word, all capitalized, to 44222. That's two fours and three twos. You can support the show by becoming a patron on Patreon for $10 a month. And when you become a patron, you get access to our private Facebook page and a Cashflow Ninja t-shirt. You can become a patron by visiting cashflowninja.com/support. Have you read Rich Dad Poor Dad? Are you interested in real estate investing and don't know where to start or to get the results you want? For valuable information to get you started, visit JoinOps Properties at joinopsproperties.com. If you're not earning at least 8% on your cash, you do not want to miss the private lending presentation for non-accredited investors done by Jimmy Freeland and Bob Scott. Discover how to create an income stream from real estate without the management headaches. You can access the presentation at cashflowninja.com/private lending. Spartan Invest have a proven plan and system helping investors creating passive income and wealth through turnkey real estate ownership in the exciting market of Birmingham, Alabama. Find out why Birmingham has got it going on, why it's a steal right now, why it's a millennial hangout, a hidden gem, and one of the most exciting investment opportunities you have never heard of. You can download your free report, 5 Big Reasons to Invest in the Magical City of Birmingham, Alabama, at cashflowninja.com/Spartan. I've spoken about the most powerful system on the planet on the show, the banking system, and my firm Valhalla Wealth Financial helps people reclaim the banking function within their own lives through leveraging the premium tools and strategies of the wealthy. If you're interested in reclaiming the banking function within your own life and the infinite banking concept, you can access a free webinar presentation at cashflowninja.com/be the bank. I'm honored to have Garrett Gunderson on the show with me. Garrett, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me, man.
Can you please share a little bit about your background and your journey with my listeners?
Yeah, I mean, I started my first business at 15, detailing cars, won $5,000 with it for being the Young Entrepreneur of the Year for the state of Utah. And unlike other kids, I wanted to invest that money. So the more people I talked to, the more questions I asked, the more confusing that became. So I ended up strangely getting offered an internship, which really means, hey, bring your family and friends so we can peddle them products, and had kind of a rude awakening as to what I thought was the financial planning world, as to what it really was. And so that led me down this kind of questioning of what really works, what has higher guarantees, what could I do to truly serve people. And that brought me to some of the things that you've read about and learned about, which is cash flow, improving the bottom line without having to cut back, you know, creating some more automated systems to capture wealth instead of struggling to get there, recognizing that entrepreneurship and owning a business is one of the key ways to build a lot of wealth, and that investing should be more focused rather than diversified, and you know, a lot more than just that I'm sure we'll dive into.
Yeah, and Garrett, you've had incredible success as an entrepreneur and building legacy wealth for yourself. And the question is, how does a small kid from a coal mining town figure out how to do this?
I think partially because you're in a coal mining town, you want to get the hell out. You know, you're like, okay, how am I going to get out of this small coal mining town? I better figure out how to be wealthy. And I had enough work ethic, but I think the key is that I was willing to question. A lot of people say they've got a lot of experience, but just because we have a lot of years in something doesn't mean we have new experiences that we evolve. We kind of continue to reconfirm and reassociate a lot of the belief systems around that. So with that being the case, I just started asking a lot of questions. I dove in. I had a hunger to study. And when I turned 19, I met Mike Isom, who I wrote a book with now. But during that time, this was back in 1999 and 2000, we decided for 2 years and 2 months, we went somewhere once a month on this journey to say, who are the best financial minds? What are the best financial events? And we started to associate with these people. And then I eventually created study groups that turned into entire things called the Mission Driven Forum, which were all these financial planners that I just started spending time with high quality people. And I just decided I'm going to dissect and question everything. Now, it might come back together as being just how it's being taught, but I'm not going to have a sacred cow. I'm not going to say, well, you know, this is how it's always been done, so this is how it always has to be done. I got to tell you, man, I got in fights with attorneys. I got in fights with other financial professionals, not fist fights, but arguments. I got kicked out of meetings early on in the firm that I was originally working for because they labeled me a fanatic because they were just going with the same old. And I was like, you know what? There's got to be a better way. There's got to be a better way. Who knows that? And that once a month for 2 years and 2 months, I learned so much. And it shaped so much of what I've been able to, you know, do, accomplish, and teach. So that was a lot of the secret sauce, was just, you know, flying out to meet with financial advisors, going to economic symposiums, going to advanced events, you know, whatever it took. Luckily, I wasn't married then, so I was gone 1 week every single month for quite a while.
And then obviously looking at very high level planning and how the wealthy do it, you came across family offices and that kind of piqued your interest too. What was kind of a aha moment when you came across that type of high level planning?
That rocked my world, man. Seeing a family office rocked my world. I didn't even know what it meant. I'd never even heard the terms. I was like, well, your family, but what it was this Rockefeller style family office where you had to be worth a certain amount of money, and sitting around the table were the attorneys and the accountants and the investment advisors and the cash flow specialists and the risk management people working from the same sheet of music, looking out for the client, doing true due diligence, analyzing, seeing how it all would piece together. And I was like, this is phenomenal. At first, I was fascinated and inspired. That quickly turned to pissed off and frustrated simply because I didn't have the money at that time in my life to be qualified for that. I didn't have clients that could qualify for that. So I said, I'm going to build this for the working wealthy. I'm going to build this for the people that their wealth is tied up in their business and they're doing a lot to earn a revenue. But you know what? I found out these family offices were brilliant at tax and they did tons of tax strategy. I realized they were great at risk management, protecting the downside. The middle class never got that kind of advice. Even the upper middle class didn't get that advice. They were just taught, hand your money over, put it in a retirement plan, wait for 30 years, and hopefully one day, someday, you know, it'll all work out. And it hasn't worked out. It's failed people. It's been devastating, yet people continue to do it because there's enough marketing and there's a lack of knowledge of what happens at this higher end versus what happens for everyone else. There's a different caliber of financial professional. I mean, hell, when I started, I sat at people's kitchen table. I was peddling mutual funds and life insurance. It wasn't truly helping people at that time. I didn't really question the design or how it was going to work or what it was going to do to improve their cash flow. I wasn't talking about saving taxes or looking for hidden fees or commissions. I wasn't talking about duplicate coverages or costs with their insurances. I was asking them how much money they could put aside and try to convince them why that product was the right thing. But fortunately, I went on that journey. Fortunately, when the market started to go down in 2000, it hit me like a ton of bricks and made me question everything because my clients were family and friends, mom and dad, grandma and grandpa. I don't want to tell them they're in it for the long haul. I don't want to tell them the market's on sale. I don't want to tell them the dollar cost average. I don't want to tell them all that BS that we're fed for far too long. And you know what? That saved them hundreds of thousands. It would have been millions. I just didn't have that much money under management and got me on a different trajectory. Got me to ask those questions. Got me going out with Michael Eisen, you know, researching. And then we built a partnership with two other partners, Ray Hooper and Les McGuire, until they died in a plane crash in 2006. I mean, and we were just those young people questioning everything, learning everything, diving in, having philosophical questions, geeking out about this all the time, and just constantly asking, how are other people doing it? What are the wealthy doing? How can that be done for everyone else? Like, we want to do it ourselves. We want to be a product of the product. We wanted to implement this in our own life, and we're fascinated by it, which got me started in financial services, and we actually started finding really concrete answers. So, you know, since 2002, my philosophies haven't changed much. They've just evolved. I've just gotten more depth to it. Once I got through the crap, once I saw past the nonsense, it was a lot clearer, and we've been able to accelerate results for the people we work with and for ourselves in doing that.
No, and that's so true, because you see, you've touched on financial advisors walking around. I mean, they've got one hammer, right? So everything looks like a nail. And then on the other side, I shared a similar experience once the veil was lifted and I came across the family office strategies that are, or setups that are in place. It just blew my mind. And I obsessively try to just consume as much content and research and information on them. So it is truly incredible. Now, Garrett, I really loved your book, Killing Sacred Cows, Overcoming the Financial Myths that Are Destroying Your Prosperity. Can you share some of the biggest financial myths that you see out there with my listeners? And these are myths promoted by financial pundits and entertainers that could actually, if people don't discover that they're myths, really, really hurt them.
Well, look, you know, one of the myths is that people believe it takes money to make money. And so that feels, you know, debilitating to a lot of kind of middle class people or people that are just trying to make ends meet. So they just, it leads to inaction. It leads to just handing money over to someone. It leads to really shirking and abdicating responsibility. That's really harmful. It doesn't take money to make money. It takes ideas. It takes value creation. It takes serving. It takes, you know, solving problems. It takes relationships. And so, yeah, you can make more money when you make money if you know how to do that. But it isn't a requirement to have money to make money. It takes resourcefulness. That's one myth. Another myth is that high risk equals high return. I mean, the people that are selling high risk equals high return is actually the people who aren't taking risk. They're telling you to take it and they get a high return. Look at AIG. You know, they made a ton of money, yet it wasn't their money at risk when things went bad. It was everyone else's money. It was tax dollars that bailed them out. That happens with financial institutions all the time. They're selling this accumulation model to everyone else, and they're operating on a cash flow model. They're selling risk, and they're not taking any of it. They're becoming masterful at mitigating risk and not taking any if they can help it, making you take it. So that is a massive myth. I think that risk comes from not knowing what we're doing. And if you, the more you know and the more you invest in alignment with your investor DNA, you start to see that there's ways to reduce risk and still get a really high rate of return. I mean, even in real estate, when you can make money on the buy, then you already know that you're profitable. You know, in business, I call it win then play. You build something because there's a fan base for it. You know, when they sell tickets to the Super Bowl hasn't even happened and it's sold out. We don't even know if it's going to be a good game, but they've already won. If we can apply those philosophies into our investing world, that's what makes someone affluent and wealthy and is, they're able to stay there versus just have it be a flash in the pan. I mean, there's other myths. I think the biggest myth is the self-insurance myth. Like, people think that like they're somehow going to be more efficient in insuring things than an insurance company is. So they lock their money away so that in case something happens, they could use it. That allows them such a meager rate of return rather than being able to deploy those assets and invest them and grow something. And so when we unlock that money by transferring risk to insurance companies that have billions of dollars, and we're going to pay less than a dollar for that dollar of insurance, that means that we can take our money and earn more. So people don't always get the big picture. We look at it in a compartmentalized way because institutions get advantages for that. So self-insurance, I think that's kind of a revolutionary chapter in killing sacred cows. And also the other revolutionary chapter is avoid debt like the plague. That's a myth. People don't know what debt really is. So I'm not saying that people should get loans or not get loans. It depends on who you are as an individual. But what's most important is to understand what the definition of debt is. Most people think owing anything to anyone is debt, but that's not true. You might be harming yourself from an equity and wealth standpoint if you don't know what debt is, which simply debt is this. It's your assets versus your liabilities. So if we take our assets, we subtract our liabilities. If we owe more than we have, that's debt. Sure, avoid that like the plague. But if we have a liability that's lower than the asset, we actually have equity. And sometimes utilizing other people's money can actually access us a lot more wealth, a lot more cash flow, and a lot more opportunity. So once again, this is the institution saying, no, never do that. Yet they do it all the time. And I get tired of that, man. It kind of pisses me off. Because if you go get a loan from a bank, they want you to pay for an appraisal to protect their ass. They want you to put a down payment to protect them. And if you don't put enough, they charge you private mortgage insurance to protect them. They want to look at your taxes. They want to look at your credit score. They do all these things to manage and lower risk. And they don't go take their money and put it in some retirement plan that locks it up till age 65 or 59 and a half. No, they focus on one thing, cash flow. So what if we started to think more like that and focused on cash flow and manage and mitigate our risk? You could break free from the financial bondage and the financial experiment that has failed so many people and embrace a much more sustainable model of wealth.
So true. Now, Garrett, you've also spoken about having proper control over your finance and your cash flow. And this is one thing that I have personally learned a lot from you. Some people might think they're managing their finances and money effectively and efficiently, but yet there may be cash flow leaks that they're not aware of or indicators that can allude to future problems. Can you share a little bit more information of how they can identify these cash flow leaks and what indicators to look for to get ahead of future problems and challenges?
Four major cash flow leaks. The first one is overpayment of tax. Easy to know if you're overpaying tax. Do you have a tax team? Do you meet with them very often? Do you have a lot of strategy that you're integrating? If not, most people, you know, they're just overpaying tax. If you haven't had a second set of eyes every 3 years on your taxes, you're probably overpaying tax. 93% of business owners do. Number two, overpaying on interest. If you have more than one loan, if you have any loan that's higher than 5%, if you don't know what your credit score is, or you don't have good cash flow reporting, or you haven't financed things that have collateral versus no collateral, or you don't have the right connections to get you the best interest rates. Most people are overpaying on interest. And if you haven't refinanced or renegotiated in the last 2 years, it's highly likely that you're overpaying. Investments. A lot of people have money in, you know, 401ks, IRAs, RSPs, you name it, all those kind of things. Most people are overpaying on their taxes. If you're not self-directed, you're probably paying too much for those structures, right? Looking at insurances. If you don't have catastrophic type coverages and you have inconsequential type coverages, you're probably overpaying. If you haven't coordinated it and looked for duplicate coverages or costs, you're probably overpaying. So these are just a few of those areas where there's tons of cash flow leaks. And if you're not paying attention to it, you're not educated on it, or you don't have a financial advocate who's helping you look at these things, you're probably overpaying. And that's money that's rightfully yours. You might as well reclaim that. Take money back from Wall Street, from the IRS, from financial institutions. It's not even theirs, but they're just hoping that you never look at it so that they can continue to take more and more and not have, you know, any fuss about it.
You're listening to Garrett Gunderson on the Cashflow Ninja podcast. We'll be right back after a word from our sponsor.
Are you having a hard time finding great investment properties? Unfortunately, the best deals are rarely found locally. Successful investing begins with the right properties in the right markets. Norada Real Estate provides everything you need to invest in the best deals across the U.S. Our simple, proven system will help you create real wealth and passive monthly cash flow. Get your free copy of The Ultimate Guide to Passive Real Estate Investing at noradarealestate.com/guide. That's NORADA realestate.com/guide.
You're listening to Garrett Gunderson on the Cashflow Ninja podcast, and now back to our interview. Now, Garrett, you've shared some amazing content and information about creating and building sustainable wealth through systemizing your wealth and creating an infrastructure to capturing it and leveraging it. Can you share a little bit more about this approach to wealth building?
Yeah, and sorry, you might hear a little noise in the background. Wealth Factory headquarters actually used to be a factory. It was a hardware building, and so sometimes when the heater or the air conditioner kicks in, it's got a little bit of noise to it, but this is a really cool vibe at our office if anyone ever gets a chance to be here.
Yeah, so, it looks great.
So the infrastructure, let me give you the simplest pieces of infrastructure. Number one, you can't commingle funds. So if you're a business owner, you need a different account in your business than you actually have on the personal side, right? So that's obvious. Everyone does that. But where most people miss it is you need a separate account from the personal and business side that I call a wealth capture account. So every time you take money from your business or every time you get a paycheck, take a percentage off the top and set it aside into this wealth capture account. So it's not commingled, so it's not spent. So you can battle something called Parkinson's Law, which is as your income goes up, your expenses will rise to meet or exceed that increase unless you've got an infrastructure. So you're simply paying yourself first. You can have it be automatic. We use a PEO called Insperity. They send two checks, one to my wealth capture account, one to my personal checking account. You can have a sweep relationship, SWEEP, with your institutions that every time you make a deposit, it splits into two. A certain percentage goes into the separate account. If you can create that automation, it's going to simplify your life, eliminate the necessity to budget, because then all you have to do is once you've paid yourself first, make sure you don't borrow to consume or that you don't go what I would call out of bounds where you've spent more than you've earned. And if you do that, you can continue to build and capture wealth in a very automated way.
It's something that you're not thinking about because it's already in place and systematically distributes the funds where it needs to go.
I like that. And then I like to take that wealth capture account and turn it into wealth creation. The way I do that is I automatically have money pulled out of that, moving to an overfunded cash value whole life insurance plan so that I can take a 1% or less account that's taxable and move it to maybe 4 or 5% in a tax efficient, tax advantage, still remains liquid type of account that comes with a multitude of benefits, including disability provisions or long-term care provisions or access to cash while still earning interest on the money that's in there. So that's what I like to do is move wealth capture first. Then I call it wealth creation when I move it into a better storage facility inside of cash value insurance. And then I can use that cash to invest. I bought businesses, vehicles, paid off a high interest rate, American Express, launched my book. I've used that money over and over again. And right now I'm in a place where I'm just putting all that back in. I've almost got 18 policies that I own between my kids, my spouse, business people I do business with, and multiple policies on myself. So 18 freaking policies. But I've got all of the cash values paid back but one. But I use that cash pretty regularly, more than most people might.
No, and that's fantastic. And that's also realizing as you teach and continue to share what your number one and greatest asset really is, because that is a question that I get too, and I'm sure you get a lot. Well, Garrett, where do I put my money? What do I invest in? What would you tell those folks?
Well, your greatest asset is yourself, first and foremost. So you got to get really in the know of what you could be doing to provide more value, what you can do to expand your means, meaning how you're going to solve more problems, serve more people, impact them more deeply. And then that could even be relationships and networks and ideas and those kind of things. You begin there. And then you can always pivot when there's a surplus of cash and say, here's investments that make sense to me. And you invest in focused portfolios, not diversified portfolios. So if someone's going to become really good at real estate, do real estate investments. But if you're not going to pay any attention to it, then don't worry about that. Most people put too much money in the stock market, not knowing how it's going to pay off, when it's going to pay off, who their fund manager is, what the fees are. So rather than just spreading yourself thin with a bunch of things, get really good at a few things and invest in those areas. For me, I'm investing in camera equipment, a new studio, things like that, that allow me to create more intellectual property and license it to people, and that's been a great economic independence type move for me where I'm getting recurring revenue for that. I'm just putting more money into cash values right now. I mean, I might buy businesses again if they complement my existing business, you know, but overall, I don't invest in things that I don't know. That's my main rule.
Now, Garrett, you co-authored a book, What Would the Rockefellers Do, as you alluded to, with Chris Isom. Fantastic read. And one of the great case studies in building legacy wealth and the different approaches that are used for it was the Rockefellers and the Vanderbilts. Can you share a little bit these different approaches? And can you also share the Rockefellers' approach in building legacy wealth and also what they do?
Yeah, so the Vanderbilts, they came first. Cornelius had more money than the U.S. Treasury. And when he died, he really wanted to keep the money together. But they didn't have a family office. So his first son, you know, he actually helped for 9 years grow that estate and almost double it. But 54 years after Cornelius died, the Vanderbilts had the first Vanderbilt die broke. Just 54 years later. Part of it was they bought mansions that they couldn't even, you know, manage. They just threw money at whatever cool thing that came their way, not knowing if it was really part of their empire, their business, or their main strategy. They didn't have anyone to help them say no. They got spread thin. And now, you know, Anderson Cooper, who's Gloria Vanderbilt's son, didn't even get an inheritance. So that thing was dissolved, it dissipated simply because there was no central pieces to help protect it. So the Rockefellers, John D. Rockefeller, created a family office. He brought all these financial professionals and said, let's set up signposts. Let's set up information and philosophies and let people know how to invest back in themselves and how to properly launch businesses and get them connections to these relationships that we've built and have this financial team to help manage that and help preserve it, protect it, and perpetuate it. So when they have a family member, you know, that's a newborn or something, they're going to put insurance on them because in case they make a mistake or something or their business goes under, that money is going to come back in and replenish the trust. The trust could finance the businesses. It could earn the interest rather than the banks. But most importantly, they've got this board of trustees type of concept where there is like they're looking at the individuals. They're looking to educate, to teach them, to make sure that they're learning lessons, that they're equipped for this because they're not going to be able to learn this in a normal school. And they've got this different privilege, but they have to treat it with the proper amount of accountability and stewardship. And so what I've done in my own life is created a statement of purpose that goes in my trust. In mine and my wife's own words, here are the philosophies, here are the principles, here are the suggestions, here's the lessons, here are the things that we've learned that have helped us to grow and build wealth. And then we're now working on family crests and family core values and family mission statements that can all start transferring that statement of purpose into our kids' lives. We built a board of directors, 5 people that represent some aspect of me that if I'm not alive, they have that expertise to help translate that for my family for the generations to come. Not just some legal document that says give them money when they turn 30, 35, and 40, but instead something that says, hey, let's support them in their sole purpose. Let's support them in what they're up to, but let's do it in a way like we're a bank. Like we're not just going to give the money and say good luck. We're going to give support and structure and make sure, almost like an angel investor or a venture capitalist, that we're investing back into our family to help that grow. So that's quite a bit different than what most people have done with their estate plans.
It's with that vision of very, very long term and planning, not just for your children, but your grandchildren and your great great grandchildren.
Right. Yep.
Now, Garrett, one habit I've observed from very wealthy and successful people is that they're always studying new subjects and learning new skill sets. What are you currently studying and looking at out there? And what skill sets are you currently learning?
So from a studying standpoint, I actually just went to an event last month on how to become an even better communicator. So it was called A-Lister with Michael and Amy Port. It was phenomenal. I've been in a mastermind that I was just at 2 weeks ago with Hollis Carter and Michael Lovitch called Baby Bathwater Institute, 10 of us. I did a full 1 hour hot seat. That was really phenomenal. I'm in a book club I basically created. I call it an accelerated learning group where we read a book a month and then discuss that book. So we've had some pretty phenomenal books. This last time we just worked on some testing and went through our conation with the Colby and had someone kind of do a a conversation around that. The book we're reading now is called Toes Turn Purple, which one of the guys in the club wrote that book. I've already read it. It's phenomenal on generational wealth. So, you know, that's another big piece of it. Let's see, what else? I'm going to mastermind talks. You know, that's a great event, and I love the people I get to connect with and talk to. And then I'm looking at what kind of writing workshops I could start doing to start really refining and expanding my skills in the world of writing, since I'm doing a lot more writing right now. So I love to invest right back into everything that I'm up to.
Fantastic. Now, a core message in our show is to leave our families, communities, and the world better than we found it by passing down a mindset, values, and principles to future generations, not just money. So if you cannot pass on any money to future generations and we're only allowed to pass on three principles to them to build wealth and achieve happiness and success, what would they be?
Invest in yourself, number one. Number two, recognize you have a sole purpose, which is your values, which is your abilities, which is your passions combined for the highest context of living. And if you want to add depth to everything in life, you just make sure you have a compelling purpose greater than any problem you could face. And the more clear you are about that purpose, and even call it a vision, the more compelling your life's going to be. Because Dan Sullivan of Strategic Coach always taught me, build a bigger future than your past so that you always have things that you look forward to, but you live powerfully in the present. That is an extraordinary way to live. So I'll just apply that to a few areas. Investing in myself means I invest in my marriage. We always have a trip on the books that we're looking forward to. Right now, we've got multiple. We've got 2 months that we're doing in Italy. We've got a concert that we're going to in Atlanta, another one that's in Chicago. We've already booked the flights. We've got a trip at the end of the year to Puerto Rico. We always have something to be excited about, right? In my business, I've always got a big project going on. I've got a book coming out called 5-Day Weekend, February of 2018. Big project. Our vision is to, you know, cross the million books being sold, because we want to help people get 3 days back to do the things that are best for them, that they truly enjoy. And if they got those 3 days back every single week, the world would then see people living at a higher level because they have the right financial infrastructure to support them. I could just apply that to multiple areas of my life. And when I do, life is really good. So invest in yourself, live your sole purpose, and build the life you love by having a compelling vision. Those are the suggestions.
Fantastic. Garrett, how can my audience learn more about you, your company, and the amazing things that you guys are doing at the Wealth Factory, and stay informed of all the projects that you're involved with?
Yeah, wealthfactory.com is a great place to go. Wealthfactory.com/WF, like Wealth Factory Resources, has another great, you know, group of assets for them that they can just download for free. They can go to Forbes.com and follow me as a contributor. Those are just a few ways to, you know, get some really good insight, get some tangible things that you could implement in your life. Like if you go to wealthfactory.com, there's tons of things where you can like figure out investment scorecards to figure out if investments are right for you, or cash flow optimization for entrepreneurs on how you can reclaim your cash. A lot of those are just things that we're giving away to empower people and to build the bridge of a relationship.
Fantastic. And thank you so much, yeah, for sending those links as well to a lot of giveaways. They will be in the show note, your investment scorecard, how to determine your investor DNA, how to find cash flow leaks. Garrett has made all of these available for our listeners. So they will be in the show notes and on wealthfactory.com. Garrett, thank you so much for coming on the show and sharing your journey and your knowledge and providing so much value for my listeners.
Thanks, man. Keep doing what you're doing, man. It's great that we got a chance to catch up. Thanks for being a supporter of Wealth Factory and the whole cash flow banking philosophy out there in the world.
This is MC Laubscher, the host of the Cashflow Ninja podcast. As you may know, I'm also the president and chief wealth strategist of Valhalla Wealth Financial. We help individuals, families, small businesses, entrepreneurs, and professionals build their wealth outside of Wall Street and help investors maximize the use of every dollar in their personal economy and boost their investment gains. We do this by combining the capital and investments with the financial vehicle of the wealthy according to the infinite banking concept. If you're interested to learn more about privatized banking and the infinite banking concept, you can access an exclusive webinar at cashflowninja.com/be the bank. Thank you for joining my guest, Garrett Gunderson, and myself on the Cashflow Ninja today. If you like what you hear and appreciate what we're trying to build here at the Cashflow Ninja, please subscribe, rate, and review our show on iTunes and share our show with family, friends, and your network. I'm always trying to learn and improve in every area of my life, so if there's any way that I can provide more value to you and serve you better, please reach out to me at info@cashflowninja.com. If you're not a subscriber to the Cashflow Ninja Gushku newsletter, you can sign up for our newsletter at cashflowninja.com or text Cashflow Ninja to 44222. That's 2 4s and 3 2s. You can also support the show by becoming a patron on Patreon for $10 a month. When you become a patron for 12 months, you get access to our private Facebook page and a Cashflow Ninja t-shirt. Jimmy Freeland and Bob Scott have been in your shoes and have used real estate investing to become financially free. They've designed a system to take any beginner to an experienced deal-making investor in the least amount of time. They offer opportunities from basic education, coaching, bridge loan investing, to turnkey investments in the cash-flowing market of St. Louis, Missouri. For more information, please visit joinopsproperties.com or call Jimmy and Bob at 314-799-2247. If you're not earning at least 8% on your cash, you do not want to miss the private lending presentation for non-accredited investors done by Jimmy Freeland and Bob Scott. Discover how to create an income stream from real estate without the management headaches. You can access the presentation at cashflowninja.com/private lending. Creating passive income for you and your family is easier than you think. All you need are three things: the right plan, the right product, and the right turnkey provider. As an investor, you want a safe, profitable, and convenient way to invest your capital without being at the mercy of stock market fluctuation. Investing in real estate in a turnkey way that provides monthly passive income with very low risk is exactly what Spartan Invest provides for their clients. Their mission is to make investing in real estate easy for the busy professional. Spartan Invest help investors create passive income and wealth through turnkey ownership in Birmingham, Alabama. You can download your free report, 5 Big Reasons to Invest in the Magical City of Birmingham, Alabama, at cashflowninja.com/Spartan. The wealthiest families on the planet know how to capture their wealth and then leveraging their wealth through their own banking system. If you're interested in privatized banking and the infinite banking concept and learning the premier strategies of the wealthiest individuals and families on the planet, you can access your free webinar at cashflowninja.com/be the bank. That's our show for today, everyone. Until next time, live a life of passion and purpose on your terms.
You have been listening to the Cashflow Ninja with your host, MC Laubscher, the podcast empowering and inspiring people to discover how to generate their own income and manage, grow, and protect their own wealth in the new economy. Today's show notes and resources are available on our website, cashflowninja.com. This presentation is for educational and informational purposes only. The information being presented and considered does not consider your particular financial objectives or situation, and it does not make personalized recommendations. This material is not intended to replace the advice of a qualified tax and legal advisor or other qualified professionals, and you should not use the information in place of a customized consultation with a licensed professional regarding your specific personal financial objective, situation, and needs. We believe the information provided is reliable, but we do not guarantee its accuracy, timeliness, or completeness.